All right, y'all alive out there? Doing good? Caffeinated? Tell me, who had a good time at the party last night? Dell the Funky Homo Sapien, Rocker T, Northwest Alternative Health. Let's give it up for all of them. Lucky I'm even here. Okay, you guys are lucky. Oh, shoot. Well, you know, we had a great day yesterday. It was very informative. I was tremendously pleased with how everything went down and how most information was presented. All of your questions were just so amazing. I think that that's really where it comes together here is we really give a lot of time. When we started doing these conferences, we didn't have as much time for questions, and so we got a lot of feedback saying, hey, we want to ask more questions. You've got all these great people speaking. We want to talk to them. We want to pick their brain, and that's what we did, and it seems like it's been a good decision, because everybody's just asking amazing questions, and I think there's a lot of things that a speaker can speak about, but once the questions start coming, it just opens it up to all these nuanced things that maybe some people thought about, some people didn't, and we really delve right into it. So want to thank you guys for all your great questions. You're a great crowd. We are family here at the OMMBC. I don't care if you're in Oregon or not. Everybody's welcome here in our state of Oregon, and you know, just be cool, you know, that's all, just be cool. don't fuck around. So, you know, we had Gary Johnson keynote yesterday. That was amazing. Well, what do we do for the second day? Well, there's one guy that came to mind when we thought we'd like to keynote the second day session. We were just hoping he would be down with it. He was, thankfully. And this gentleman is here. Of course, we mix activism and business at the OMMBC. We're not just a business conference. We're definitely not just an activism conference, though, also. But what we are is we mix the two. We marry the two together in this harmonious marriage that is just symbiotic for everybody. It works for everybody to just be a little more conscious. Just do the right thing, don't be a jerk, and come together with a great business whilst keeping your ideals and ethos and ways of doing business intact, okay? And that's important. It's not so easy to do, because once you start getting successful, people blowing smoke up your ass constantly, you know, it's like being famous, you know, all of a sudden now you're famous, you got some success, people want your thing. So we have the tendency to change sometimes. And really, it's not necessary. Just stay to yourself, do what you do, and things will pan out. And so that's what our next speaker did. He stayed true to himself. Okay, he stayed true to the game. All right, he's been an activist for longer than some of you probably been alive in this room. Okay, and he still is an activist. So he's one of our heroes because of that beautiful marriage that he's created. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Harborside Health Center CEO and main man, Steve D'Angelo. Give a warm up.
All right, thank you so much. I sorry I didn't just see you out on the dance floor last night. Hope everybody had a good time. I felt like I needed to be a little bit coherent here this morning. You know, I wanted to start just by thanking Alex and his entire team, not just for putting on an amazing event here and in other cities, for planning and executing so well, but also for what they're really doing, to honor them as community builders. You know, in my activist career, I had the duty and the opportunity and the pleasure to put on many, many different events. And I saw firsthand the value that those events bring. How when we come together and we have shared experience with each other, when we talk with each other, when we break bread with each other, when we share ideas with each other, when we debate with each other, we will form the bonds of community. And we strengthen those bonds and we deepen those bonds And that's what enables us to do great things together, like change laws and build new industries. So thank you, Alex. Thank you, everybody on Alex's team, everybody that worked to make this happen, all of the sponsors for helping us build our community and do great things together. I'm going to talk a little bit today, in the beginning, about where we've come from, about where I think we are today and where we should be going and how we might get there. We'll see where we end up. If we have enough time, I'll talk a little bit about my ideas about recreational versus medical use. I'm not going to get into the politics of it, but I will share some basic ideas with you about how I think we can and should understand the plant. We'll gauge that by the time. I want to make sure we leave plenty of time for questions. So, about 50 years ago, a strange and marvelous thing happened on the West Coast of North America. Its epicenter became famous as San Francisco, but its impact was really felt all the way, the entire length of the coast, including all the way up to Canada and certainly in Oregon. Thousands, and then tens of thousands, and then hundreds of thousands, and finally millions of young people just coming to the age of adulthood looked around them. They looked at the world. They looked at a world that was in the middle of the most violent century in human history. They looked at a world that was still living in the shadow of nuclear weapons that had been detonated just a couple decades earlier. They looked around and they saw an economic system that was poisoning the air we breathe and the water we drink and the land that we grow our crops on, and a culture that stressed conformity over creativity and locked out women and people of color and gay people and a whole ton of other folks from real participation. And they dreamed and they thought of a new way. There had to be a better way to organize our lives. And so they started gathering. They gathered together and they started thinking and they started talking, trying to find a way to a new world, to a new kind of life, a new way of living with each other, a new way of living on the planet, a way that was in balance with nature, a way that valued creativity more than conformity, a world that made room for every single human being. Anybody who had a belly button would be valued. A world where people could work and people could play with a sense of freedom, a sense of decency. So, those young people eventually came to be called the hippies. And they did amazing and wonderful things. We started the peace movement and the environmental movement and the women's liberation movement, or at least gave it some extra juice. We stood up for racial justice. We ended wars, and we developed products and businesses that have changed the face of America. Things like personal computers, yoga, organic food, things that are institutions in our lives today. Now, some of those hippies came up to Oregon, or were in Oregon, and they were part of the Back to the Land movement. They went up into the hills, they went into remote places, and they started growing cannabis. Another one of the wonderful things that hippies introduced to America. Now that's, as you can see, made Oregon quite an amazing state in the world of cannabis. You have some of the most amazing growers and produce some of the most amazing genetics of any state in the country. Well done, Oregon. You're like California. Like California, you're not a cannabis importing state. Oregon self-supplies its own cannabis. Not only does it self-supply, it's also been able to export to many, many other states with outstanding and legendary cannabis. So that's one of the reasons that Oregon's always felt like friendly territory to me. As we toured the country for decades and decades trying to make this plant legal, going from state to state, you could tell when you were in friendly territory. And one reason that we loved Oregon so much was that even as far back as 1973, it was one of the few places that we could go to and not actually have to worry about somebody hauling us off to jail and locking us up. The very first state anywhere to put an initiative to legalize cannabis on the ballot. Oregon did that way back in 1986 with the Oregon Marijuana Initiative. And now, of course, you've sent this beacon of hope around the world in 2014. But it hasn't been easy. It hasn't always been smooth sailing to get here. You know, it took a lot of work, it took a lot of persistence along the way in order to get to where we are today. Take a look at this list up on the page. That's a small list of the many different things that happened along the way that had to be pushed through. At this, either this hotel or Portland, I haven't been able to get the story straight, in 1986 at the Normal Conference there, the National Federation for Drug-Free Youth harassed the conference, sent picketers all around the block, actually put provocateurs inside the hotel who committed acts of vandalism. They threatened radio stations so that they wouldn't publicize the event and intimidated public officials who had agreed to speak into canceling their engagements. Right? But still, we pushed on. 1986, OMI lost, and it lost by a lot, but we still pushed on. From 1989 all the way through the 90s almost, HempTour was incredibly active here in Oregon. Who was a part of HempTour? There must be some of you in the room here. Wow, okay. Well, HempTour, I don't know where you guys are. I guess they're all still up in the hills right now. But HempTour really laid the basis for a lot of the activist work that you see today. And one of the leaders of HempTour, one of my heroes, one of my few heroes who never really disappointed me, Jack Herer, was so dedicated to making a change and was so well supported in this state, he kept on coming back, even though he had two heart attacks and two strokes at two separate cannabis events several years apart. And the second one actually ended up killing Jack. But we persisted. We persisted. We kept on moving. And you know, I think about Jack. I think about all the HempTour folks who aren't here. Some of them have passed. I think about all of the patients that we met along the way. I think about people like Brownie Mary, who dedicated years of service to the movement, who have passed. And I think about what President Obama said when he went to Selma. And he said, "I come here today standing on the shoulders of giants." Well, I feel like I came here today. I feel like I flew here today on the wings of angels. All the angels like Jack and all the folks who couldn't be here in this room today who helped make it happen.